You are listening to the All Day Rock Off podcast, episode number 39. Welcome to the All Day Rock Off podcast, episode number 39. This is your host, Brian, and I wanted to thank you so much for tuning in. We truly hope you enjoyed this episode, and don't forget to check out our previous episodes as well. The All Day Rock Off podcast includes interviews, answers questions, and provides updates on the rocking community. In this episode, we have an interview with Kadri Garrett, who was the lead cadre at the GoRuck Ruck Club Battle. We discuss how he got involved with GoRuck, his first GoRuck event, becoming a cadre for GoRuck, and how awesome that Ruck Club Battle event was. I've done one event with Kadri Garrett, and we've hung out a couple times outside of that, and he's both a great speaker and a really nice guy. So I was really happy when he agreed to be on the show. This is a very informal conversation, and it's just fun to take some time and chat with him about the event and just some fun GoRuck history. Before we get into the interview, as always, I want to give some thanks to those who have left reviews on both our Apple Podcasts page and our Facebook page. Today, we've got a 5-star review from Liz, who says, "Love hearing the sultry tones of B-Lore telling us what's new in the rucking community. Thanks for all your hard work. Keep the good stuff coming. Can we look forward to a Travel Squad interview someday soon?" Thank you, Liz. Yes, there will be a number of interviews with members of Travel Squad in the future. For those who are listening and don't know, Travel Squad is one of our local ruck clubs. So ideas I've got for that. One of our members, Templeman, completed the first ever GoRuck Challenge, Class 1. So it'd be really fun to have him on and talk about that first event so people can see how the challenge has evolved from the very first event to the 2,500th event or whatever we're at right now. In addition, we've got a local GoRuck selection finisher, David, and it would be fun to have him on when we get closer to selection time to talk about that event. We also need to get Fergus on to talk about something, maybe the next Travel Squad fundraiser. Something will happen. Thank you so much for all of the support, Liz, and for being so amazing. I really appreciate that review. If you're listening and you want to support the podcast, we would love if you would leave a review on either our Apple Podcast page, which is on iTunes, or on our Facebook page. We truly appreciate all of them. We also have an online store at alldayruckoff.com/store, where we have some awesome rucking gear. Right now, my personal favorite is a Velcro magnet, which has loop on the front, and it's cut 3 inches wide, 2 inches tall, and magnet backing, so you can put your event patch or another one of your favorite patches on it, and then slap it on your refrigerator, your beer fridge, toolbox, anything with a magnetic surface. We also have a fairly new YouTube channel that we'll link to in the show notes. So if you're listening and you like videos, we would really appreciate if you would subscribe. Let us know what videos you want to see, and we will make them happen within reason. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen, and here is the interview with Kadri Garrett. I'm here talking with Kadri Garrett, who was one of the cadre down at the GoRuck Ruck Club battle event that happened at HQ. I'm super excited today to talk about this event and talk about his experience with putting it on, running it, and maybe even the future of that style of event. So, Garrett, how are you doing today?
Good, good. How are you, Brian?
I'm good. Can't complain.
Yeah, me neither. I'm living down here in Jack's Beach, so I mean, life is great on the beach as usual in Florida.
Yeah, I think it's about what'd you say, 50 degrees warmer down there than it is up here in Seattle?
Yeah, something like that. But at least you guys aren't dodging hurricanes up there every other year, right?
That's true. That's true. We haven't had one of those. There's the ever looming presence of an earthquake, but that's yet to truly strike.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited to be here as well with you, Brian. I love everything rucking, you know that. So I'm excited to talk about the Ruck Club battle and all things go ruck and rucking with you.
Cool. Yeah, one of my favorite parts about the Ruck Club battle is that, I mean, just before we get into this, I really like the Go Ruck community, obviously. And I think a lot of other people really like the Go Ruck community and keep doing events and are so heavily involved because the community is amazing. And the Ruck Club battle just seemed like such an awesome gathering of community members. So I'm really excited about it and the future for it.
Yeah, it was really, really neat experience because, I mean, every one of these Go Ruck events is kind of what you described, the gathering of the awesome people of this community, which is pretty indescribable with words. You'd have to actually show up to one to really understand it. But the competition aspect of it, because everybody who shows up to a Go Ruck event, for the most part, is the type who is also very competitive. So adding in the competition element to the gathering of the community was a lot of fun for sure.
That's awesome. I can't wait to get into that. Before we do, I want to know, and I want our listeners to know a little bit more about you. So Kadri Garrett, how did you first get involved with Go Ruck?
Sure. I was assigned to as a cadre instructor over at the Special Warfare Center and School in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. While I was there, I ran into a cadre, Lou, who had a Go Ruck sticker on his car out in the parking lot. And I kind of considered myself a master of the ruck at the time. Still do. A little bit older, but I still do. And I asked him about it. And he kind of said, oh, yeah, it's this rucking thing. And a few months later, he asked if I wanted to come do one up in Washington, D.C. That was June 2012. Class number 186, challenge class number 186. And I showed up and I was a participant and it was an insane experience. And then I was a week later, I was leading my first event in Charlotte, class 192, with Cadre Lou, kind of teaching me the ropes. And after that, I was kind of, you know, set free to grab contracts wherever I wanted. I went to Huntington, West Virginia, and College Station, Texas, quite a few other places while I was still active duty in the Army. I was coming up on my time to either re-enlist or get out, and I was offered a job of a lifetime to become a full-time cadre with Go Ruck in 2012. So I ended up getting out of the Army. Not completely. I got out of active duty and transitioned into 20th Special Forces Group down in Florida in the National Guard. So I still did the part-time Green Beret thing, but full-time I was cadre for Go Ruck. For 3.5 years, I worked for Go Ruck full-time, and I went through various positions from lead cadre after Cadre Lou left to and my job there was basically taking care of the cadre, hiring on contract cadre, et cetera. And then once we started to get bigger and bigger, we started to have to divvy that full-time work up. So I became the regional manager of the East Coast for a little while, for about a year. And what I did was just basically came up the event schedule of the East Coast, assigned all the cadre to the events, managed all the cadre, and just had my little piece of the pie in that aspect, maintained SOPs, updated them, et cetera, et cetera. All the boring pencil pushing work. But I always wanted to go back to school. So I tried to go back to school, class here or there, but I could never dedicate enough time. So I actually ended up getting out of the National Guard after 3 years, and left Go Ruck full time, in summer of 2016 in order to go to college full time. So summer 2016, I went back to contractor. I'm still a contractor for contract cadre for Go Ruck. So I still put on a lot of events all over the place. Up to date, I've done 203 events total, Go Ruck, all over the world, about 7 different countries, all over the United States. I finished my associate's degree at Fuller State College of Jacksonville just recently here a couple months ago, and I'm transferring over to the University of Florida in Gainesville in the summer as I just got accepted over there for plant sciences. So I'm really excited to move in that direction of my career and still be able to be a part of the Go Ruck community as a cadre is just an amazing experience for me. So that's a little bit about myself in a nutshell, unless you want to know any more, Brian.
Man, congratulations. And that is awesome. Who would have thought that from seeing the Go Ruck bumper sticker in a parking lot, it would lead into running 203 events across the world?
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, I tried to run the numbers a little bit in my head. It's over 10,000 people that have gone through the events and roughly 3,000 miles rucked all over the place. So, and the best thing is the 10,000 people, all of them are just really amazing human beings that you kind of grow apart from with 10 years of active duty experience, especially with 7 of those years of mine were overseas service. So being able to reconnect with people here in America is just, it's really an amazing feeling, especially for a veteran, you know?
That's awesome. So if we can take it back for a second to 2012, your first event, what were your thoughts? I mean, it was different back then. I mean, my first event was class 053 in 2011. There was, you know, no information out there. If you saw a Go Ruck sticker, you probably didn't even, you know, the majority of people didn't know what it was. What was your thoughts going into that first event?
I think my thoughts were probably very similar to most people's thoughts when they're going through their event for the first time. What the heck is this and what is going on and what is going to happen? Probably were my first thoughts as you're standing there waiting for the event to start to happen. And I think really it was, who are these people, was probably my biggest thought, because there was quite a few for class 186 in Washington, D.C. at the time. I want to say there's over 100 people at our start point. So I think that was my first thought, was like, who are these people? And then I learned really fast that they're really awesome people. It was just such an eye opener because that's the type of experience that we would go through our training. And it became very familiar for me very quickly as the event progressed. But to watch, you know, civilians go through that side by side with me, it's very empowering feeling. So, as the event progressed, it was, it turned into like, who are these people? And then shock and amazement into what kind of people that they were, into, wow, this is a fast way to meet some really awesome folks on the civilian side of things. And you, on becoming a cadre, you really realize that it's something that you want to be a part of very quickly when you're side by side with those folks. But I'd say my initial reaction is similar to those of almost everybody else. After leading 200 of these things, you kind of see how people are at the very beginning. They're very nervous and jittery, and especially if they're brand new to the community, they're like, who are these people, is what they're probably thinking. So that was my first thought.
Yeah, that was, you know, pretty close to mine as well. You're standing up there with a group of people who also saw at the time, what little description there was of the event on the website, and said, yep, that sounds like a good idea. It's quite the unique group.
Yeah, and it's such an eye-opener too, because the level of intensity that happens, especially at the beginning of a tough challenge or something, is eye-opening for a civilian. And it was eye-opening for me as a soldier at the time, to be doing those type of exercises and that type of intensity with civilians. It was very, very eye-opening, a great learning experience for sure.
That's awesome. So you finished that event, and you said that the following weekend you ran your first event. So, I mean, you were probably right after that first one, you're ready to go.
Yeah. I learned a lot that first weekend in Washington, D.C., because after that that Friday night challenge that I did as a participant, we also had the shadow one the next night. So I shadowed a cadre named Bo at the time, a very old school cadre. But I learned so much shadowing his event on Saturday night in D.C. And then in Charlotte, North Carolina, the very next weekend, the end of June, I was able to, you know, apply what I learned through the event that I went through that was led by Cadre Patrick and Jason, the owner of the company. And then I was able to learn what I learned from Cadre Bo's events the next night. And then, of course, I had Cadre Lou with me, who had run a ton of events at the time, and he was able to, kind of show me the ropes, if you will, in Charlotte the next weekend. So I was very well rounded to start the Go Ruck journey as a cadre, because I had so much, different talent of other cadre around me that I was able to learn from. So yeah, the very next weekend, class 192 in Charlotte, I'll never forget that. It was 95 degrees at the start time, which was 9 PM. And it was humid and hot, and, it was fun. That was for sure.
What a way to start the event.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
So have you taken part in any other events since your first one as a participant?
Yeah, I sure did. I went through an event, Jason's first event that he went through as a participant here in Jacksonville. It was, I want to say class number 1438 in 2015. Yeah, it was April 19th. I got the data right in front of me. That's why I'm able to know it. April 19th, I went through on as a participant. It was the first time Jason McCarthy went through. I was full-time cadre at the time. And cadre Dan came down. Cadre Joel and myself were both participants in the event, along with a whole bunch of GRTs, because it was a GRT reunion event. So there was a well over 100 people. But yeah, I put myself through the suck again. It was fun for sure. Cadre Dan events always are. But that's it. Those are the only two I've done, and I think I'm all set. I'm good to go. I'm not going to do any more. I don't think I might do one with my family, my immediate family, later on down the road. But I felt the pain enough. And, I'm not crazy enough to do anything more than a tough, anyway, the heavies is, you guys can keep that kind of pain. I felt that kind of pain in the military, and, I don't know. I had enough of it. So I like my sleep now too,
Yeah. That makes total sense. And it's always fun experiencing, people's events for the first time, as you mentioned, doing one with your family.
Everyone in my immediate family members has done an event. The first one was my little brother back up in Boston, Massachusetts. He did an event, I think it was in 2013. And then my sister did an event in San Francisco the following year. And then my parents did a light event with me in 2015 up in Boston. So every one of my family members, and several of my cousins as well, first cousins, have done the events and are GRTs. So I've brought quite a few into the fold.
That's great. It's always fun watching people do their first event, because you kind of get to see them, go through all the emotions that you did during your first event. And having that happen to family members is probably an extra kind of special fun.
Yeah, I'll never forget in the streets of San Francisco, my sister vomiting and saying that she couldn't make it, she couldn't do it. And I just told her to fall in and keep going about, this was 7-8 hours into the event. I said, girl, you can do it. Just keep going. She said, she looked at me, she said, okay. And she finished the event. She was so happy that she did. But I know exactly what you're talking about when you're looking at into the people's eyes, and they don't, they want to stay, they want to be there, but their body's telling them to leave, but it's well worth it in the end when they do finish.
Absolutely. Or like the pure shock when they hear what a rocking chair is, If someone says, you know, we're doing five rocking chairs in the water, and like, you know, what's that? And they describe it, and it just like, just the color just fades.
I know, it always amazes me because it doesn't seem like that big of a deal. We're just going, you know, we're just basically doing a rocking back into the water. Is that really that big of a deal? I don't understand that shock on people's faces, but I guess maybe it's the water might be cold or something. I'm not sure. I'm also a combat diver, so you know, a lot of things like that. A lot of fears of aversion to water. I've had my fair share of, so I understand it. But just doing a simple little somersault backwards into the water, it's not that big of a deal, is it?
No, it's not that big of a deal. Some people are really water averse, so it's.
Oh my gosh! To see the look on the people's faces when I tell them to go subsurface or putting their head in the water with like a rocking chair style exercise, it's definitely when you see the most booboo lips in events for sure. There are people who do not like to get in the water at all. It's like they're cats almost, you know.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it. Oh, that's awesome. So, Ruck Club Battle. For those who are listening and just have no idea what we're talking about with it, can you give like a high level elevator speech on what the Ruck Club Battle was?
Sure. So I was approached by Luke MC. He was the point of contact who he wanted to put together a custom event, Ruck Club Battle. So really he was instrumental in the creation of the event. As I talked to him several hours on the phone and we went over the plan together. But he essentially made it all, but in a nutshell, it was, a bunch of GRTs getting together and having small competitions. That would be the bulk of the event would be competitions against each other in small groups. Having a winner, you know, second place, third place, all the way down to obviously the last place teams. So we've been throwing that type of idea around as far as like best GRT competition around headquarters for a long, long time. But, you know, ideas are one thing and being able to provide manpower, is another thing. So, it really took, the spark, from a GRT, which was Luke, for the event to actually happen. So, and that's really what it was. He wanted the event to be a tough type of event for it to be long enough, you know, so he wanted it to be about 12 hours. However, we thought that there'd get more people if it was just a light as far as in length. So like a 6 hour type of event. So he went with the 6 hour type of event just to start as a preliminary type. And that's exactly what it was. So over 100 people showed up at GORUCK headquarters, and we started the event off with a bang with a deck of cards competition. I'll explain that in detail in a second. But and then we followed that with several more competitions on the beach, Jacksonville Beach, relay race style events, and, you know, just rucking in general, rucking as a team, rucking with coupons. And then we tallied up the scores and had a big party at headquarters afterwards and announced the winners. Even had a tie for second and third place. So we had to decide that, but with one final event at headquarters, and that was it in a nutshell. It was a lot of fun. A big eye opener for some, because, just like most events, a lot of people don't really realize what they're getting into. I know you can find out a lot more about GORUCK these days than back in say 2012 or 2011, but this was a custom event and the first of its kind. So there were a lot of surprised faces because the intensity of the events were pretty high, but the intensity was not applied by the cadre. The intensity was applied by, you know, the small teams and them trying to win and being competitive. So it was a lot of fun for sure.
That's awesome. And I think having the light time frame is really nice because then you're able to have that after party at HQ and it's not an after party breakfast.
Right. It doesn't take up too much of the day. You know, people can basically do a half day event and, you know, like you said, be able to enjoy it a little bit afterwards and still be able to go home. at a reasonable time. So that was reasoning behind the light timeline. It was just to be able to have more people, have it to be more accessible to more people, which is exactly what happened, as more than 100 people, signed up for the event. So it was, it worked out well. However, the tough timeline, like a 12-hour timeline, I think would be great, especially if it was during the day, say it, started at 7 or 8 in the morning and went all the way till, 6 or 7 o'clock at night. Because you could do so much more, and then you could have, more time, to devote to the resources needed to make sure all the weights were exactly what they should weigh, and to have, things in place, checks and balances and scorers, et cetera. You're able to do that with a longer timeline, for sure. With the compressed timeline, it was a little bit more difficult. Custom style of events, it's hard to dedicate, outside time, as we, the cadre, especially contract cadre, or, have other things that we're doing, going to school or whatever. So, dedicating 6-8 hours or whatever of our own time, is pretty hard to do, especially if we're not at the same location. Luckily for me, I live right next to Jacksonville Beach. So I was able to go out and make sure that we could use all the sites needed and stuff. But to do this event for real, like a CrossFit competition style, GoRuck Ruck Club battle, it would take quite a bit of resources, that would need full-time dedication, in order to make things exact, weight standards and timekeepers and, scorers, to be completely objective and as fair as possible.
Yeah, especially when you're dealing with the kind of weights that come in at GoRuck events. I'm guessing there were some sandbags, and you can get those pretty close, but...
Well, actually, it worked out really well for us, for our event. But like you said, how we were able to mitigate, just throwing something together, is that we would email the participants a couple weeks out and say, hey, your small teams have to be 8 people, at least 8 people. But if you show up and you don't have a team, that's okay, because you can kind of put together your own team while at headquarters, waiting for the event to begin, which is what several teams did. They kind of created their own mercenary teams, if you will. And some of them performed very, very well. We're in the top 5. Some of those mercenary teams were. But, in the future, to have it more logistically sound, to where the teams are set in stone and it's, everybody knows exactly what they're getting into, except for, of course, the competitions themselves, would be required for sure. But the way it worked out really well. It was 8-person teams, and we were able to, have everybody basically be on 8-person teams. And, the weights that they had to bring were standardized as well. They were just 30-pound ruck plates. So, because of that, it was easy to standardize as much as we could, to remain as objective as possible when you're doing the scoring and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's awesome. It makes total sense. Ruck plates, they all weigh the same.
The overall feel was great, though. I mean, the event, it surprised us cadre as well. I was lead on the event, so I helped plan and coordinate everything. I worked with Luke, the point of contact, as much as I could. But we also had Cadre Dan come down, and Cadre Cody was also a cadre there. So Luke wanted to make sure he had some GoRuck cadre who were known for being no nonsense type of guys. So I think he went the perfect route with asking for Cadre Dan and Cadre Cody to come help me out. It just made the event a little bit more stoic. It was a light for sure, and there was a lot of fun to be had, but it was also a competition. There had to be a winner. So, we made sure to look as official as possible. The 3 of us cadre had our own whistle and our own little timer around our necks and stuff. So, we kept the event, very light and very fun, but it was also, there was also an air of seriousness to it as well, because, well, after all, it was a competition for bragging rights of the best ruck club, in at least the Southeast for sure.
Absolutely. So there were 3 cadre at the event?
Yeah, 3K drink event. Then that's standard. So anytime like anytime more than 30 people, I get register for an event. You know, GoRuck assigns another cadre. That's for safety reasons, et cetera, and just to help the event. So there was, I think there was over 100 people signed up. So that warranted 3 cadre for the event. We almost had enough to sign up another cadre. So it was a big showing for sure. It was a big showing. We needed every one of those cadre because of the nature of the event and scoring it. You know, it was vital to have all hands on deck. A couple other cadre as well that didn't run the event, but were actually part of the event. One of them was Jason McCarthy himself, who was who put himself onto one of the teams last minute. And Cadre Shredder from California, from over the West Side, actually came over and participated in the event, and they actually did pretty well. So Blaine Smith as well, the president of GoRuck, also participated, and his team came in fourth place with a very strong showing as well. So it was impressive to, at the very least, to see the cadre out there, you know, representing.
That's wild. I didn't realize that Shredder flew all the way out from California for that. I've done one event with him. He's a great cadre.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was great to meet him too. It was the first time I finally met him face to face. We were both first group brothers, so it was always awesome to meet another first in Asia guy, you know.
And then Blaine, he's signed up to run his first event, I believe, in a couple months. So he'll be joining the ranks as well.
Yeah, as cadre, right?
That's correct. I think he's doing a baton light in Atlanta.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think I haven't spent a lot of time with Blaine, but from what time I have spent with him, he's a great guy. He's going to make a great cadre. That's for sure. Just watching him at that Ruck Club battle, and his team started off not doing too well at the deck of cards event in the very beginning, because the only way to get points is that everybody in your team has to be able to finish. Well, one of their guys actually dropped during that first event. So they finished the exercise. They didn't stop doing it, but they were unfortunately were able to get no points. But and a lot of teams would have kind of let that get to them, and they might not have performed very well in the next events, but that was not the case for Blaine's team. They performed very well throughout the next events and were very competitive, coming in first, second, and third and the rest of the events. And they came all the way in fourth place. So it was really inspiring just to watch Blaine's team and watch him as a leader, do his thing. So I have no doubt that his events that he's going to run are going to be a lot of fun.
That's awesome. So were Blaine and Jason on the same team?
They were not. They were not. Jason was on the other. They kind of threw together a team kind of last minute. So Jason came in and had a great performance as well. They came in sixth place, his team, with the rest of the GoRuckers from the office. They did. I think they came in second place on the Ruck March, which was a 4 mile. It was one of the events was a 4 mile ruck with a 30-pound sandbag as a coupon, and their team came in second place, which was very impressive for sure, right behind the first place team. So, and a lot of these teams had been training and been together for months and months for this. They didn't know what the event specifically they were training for, similar to like a CrossFit competition, but they were definitely training for the events. So for those teams to kind of be thrown together at the last minute, and for them to perform as well as they did was impressive. So, yeah, it was fun to watch the bosses do their thing. That's for sure. Very inspiring as well.
Yeah, Jason's got those long legs. He's probably really good at rucking.
He's a ruck monster. There's no doubt. Jason is a ruck monster. Yeah, I wouldn't want to ruck against him. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty tall. I'm 6'2", but I'm sure he would outruck me like crazy. I bet he's got a stride that just, I bet he's quick.
Yeah. You nailed it. The guys with the stride are hard to keep up with. You, the guys with the stride, like Jason's, 6'4", 6'5" guys. I'm 6'2" as well. You kind of have to trot a little bit to catch up with those guys, and they're not burning near as much energy. So yeah, they're ruck monsters. The taller they are, the further their stride is,
Absolutely. I like that word. I like ruck monster. That's a good one. So was it fun seeing the competition between, I'm sure there had to have been some between Jason and Blaine, right? They're on different teams, but they work so closely together.
Yeah. There was competition between all the teams. There was, I believe there were eight teams of eight people who actually showed up. So there were, there was quite a bit of competition between all those teams. Absolutely. But, you know, none of the competition, none of the events within the event were, nobody was running into each other or anything like that. There's no physical competitions against each other. There's no tug of war or anything like that. So the events, I'm not going to keep them under wraps because they will change or whatever, but they, they involve something like the 4 mile ruck march with the 30 pound, sandbag. They had to do some stuff you might see at an event, like a relay style race with, bear crawls and crab walks, and low crawls, you know, some things that you would normally see at any normal go ruck event. And then maybe some surprises in there that involve teamwork a lot as well. Some of those teamwork silly kind of events that you might kind of dismiss and look at like with a cocked head, similar to like inchworm pushups or tank track competitions. So where teamwork is really, or like an elephant walk, if you will, but where teamwork is really key, and it's just an awkward kind of race. So, and then the deck of cards we started off the event with was a real, it's basically a 45 minute workout where you go through an entire deck of 52 cards. And each card that you pull is a different workout. So there's four different suits in a deck of cards. And you say hearts would be squats, and you do the number. So if you pull eight of hearts, you do eight squats. There's everybody on your team does eight squats, you pull the next card. Face cards are 10 of that exercise. And then the two jokers were different exercises. A joker would be like 2 minutes of planks or, you know, 2 minutes of holding your ruck over your head. That's a heck of a workout. That really exhausted a lot of folks. And like I said, there was one participant who actually couldn't finish the event because of that first mini event. So, yeah, it was an eye-opener for sure. To start the event off with a deck of cards workout. We call it the deck of death. So, and then you can make any exercise you want with it. We had squats for hearts. We had push-ups for spades. So you can really make any exercise you want for whichever suit of cards you want.
So was ruck overhead hold part of the deck of cards?
It was. It was the second joker, I believe. So, the first joker was 2 minute planks with your ruck on your back. And then the second joker was you had to hold your ruck with your arms locked over your head for 2 minutes. So, yeah.
That's not easy.
No, and it was a timed event. So the first team who came, you know, finished all the whole deck first, they scored, you know, the points for that event. And then the second place team got second most points, et cetera.
Oh, wow.
But every team who finished the event would at least get points. So every team is incentivized to at least finish all the events.
So this was a do at your own team's pace. This wasn't one cadre pulling a card and saying, all right, everyone do this. This was a race through the deck of cards.
Yeah, that was the difference between this event and every other GoRuck event really that I've ever been a part of. Is just the intensity was brought entirely by the participants themselves in the competition. The cadre did nothing but really organize and kind of, you know, walk the participants, the competitors from one competition to the next. That's really it. We kind of facilitated the fun, and then the intensity was brought entirely by the competition. So it was really fun to watch. We weren't expecting that level of competition, but I guess we should have knowing the nature of GRTs, right?
Yeah, that must have been really fun to watch. And I mean, like you mentioned, I'm guessing you didn't really know what to expect, if everyone would, you know, come in laughing and joking, or if it would be a semi-serious or a really serious competition where everyone's really pushing each other to the next level.
Yeah, at the very beginning, it was a hodgepodge mix of folks. You know, at the very beginning, people kind of thought, oh, maybe this is just a fun style, hunky-dory, a light, you know, we'll go sing some songs, ruck a few miles, maybe do some push-ups in the surf and call it a day. But once people saw, you know, the other competitors, the other teams that would bring their team shirts, and they were all together, and the Palm Beach Rucking Club had their own shirts, and you know, Team Regiment had their own shirts. You can tell the atmosphere of the event changed pretty quick, especially when the very first event was the Deck of Death. that changed the nature of the event immediately. So everybody, you know, latched onto it and they loved it, and they competed their hearts out. It was inspiring to watch, for sure, because there were some folks there who did not train for this event in the way that you should train if you're going to go into a competition type event. So to watch those people really, you know, put all their effort into trying to get their team to win or do well was really inspiring. Every single, except for the first Deck of Death, every team finished every single of the event. So it was a lot of fun and very inspiring to watch.
That's awesome. I'm absolutely sure it was. I saw a lot of the pictures, you know, they came through on the Tough group, and it looked like everyone was having a great time, but they're also experiencing the pain.
Yeah, the weather didn't cooperate very well either. I think it was in the 50s, and we were on the beach with 15 mile an hour sustained winds. So it was miserable, the weather, because of the cold, but because it was a competition, the competitive juices were flowing. So, you know, we didn't have too much of a problem with the cold, but there were times where that wind would be whipping and kind of cut right through you, especially if they had to get in the surf, where they did have to get in the surf during one of the events, but not for very long because the water temperature is pretty cold. We didn't want anybody to go hyperthermic during the event. So,
absolutely. So how did scoring work for this?
So it's pretty easy, but whoever's running the event, or you know, whenever this becomes a set in stone with an actual SOP, which I'm pretty sure GORUCK headquarters is working on something. I'm not sure, but I'm sure they are, because they asked me for my template that I used. But you can use any kind of scoring that you want. We just simply did it, 3 points to the winner of whatever event that they won, 2 points for second place, 1 point for third place, and any team that finished the event got a half a point. And there were, I think we had five total events, you know, in the light, and we tallied up all the scores at the end. And like I said, we had one tie for second place, and so we had a pretty fun last event that we called the Statue of Liberty, where you have to participants have to stand like the Statue of Liberty and hold a rucksack over their head, kind of like it's a torch. And the last team to have their torch up, which is their rucksack over their head with one hand, is the winner. And actually, now that I think about it, that was Blaine's team, GORUCK headquarters, against another GRT team from Tallahassee. I think they're from Tallahassee, if I remember correctly. But anyway, that's what happened. That's why Blaine's GORUCK headquarters team didn't come in second place, is because they lost that last Statue of Liberty battle against the Tallahassee Rucking Club. So it was intense for sure, and it was a great way to end the event with a competition like that. You know,
that's amazing. One hand overhead ruck hold, Statue of Liberty style.
And the weights were no joke. So every single ruck had to have the Tough weight standard in it, which was 30 pounds, or 20 pounds if you were under 150. So, and everybody who competed in that event, we made sure that they all had the same weighted rucks. They all had 30 pound weights in their rucksack. So it was needless to say, it didn't last very long. I think the event only lasted about 2.5 minutes. Was the last man standing, or last rucker standing with their flame over their head. But it ended up being the Tallahassee Rucking crew to take home second place. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I bet. I bet that was fun to watch.
Yeah, it was entertaining. It was entertaining. I think there's a few videos out there, live feed. I'm sure they're on the Tough page somewhere. So it was fun.
So it sounds like this was obviously it was an incredibly unique event, but it sounds like it was very fun from both the participants' point of view and from the cadre's point of view. If you were given the opportunity to run another one of these, would you take it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, we'll need a little bit more. We'll need a little bit more as far as logistical support to make this. I think you can make this really big. You can make it have regionals into like a national final, similar to like a CrossFit competition, especially if everything would be standardized. It just would take quite a bit of overhead, quite a bit of manpower and logistical support in order to pull that off. But absolutely, I would love to be a part of this again in the future, because of the nature of the event and how fun it was to watch the different style running over 200 events. And no two GoRuck events are the same for sure, but this one was far different than most others, especially from a cadre's perspective. And just to be able to watch the competition while scoring it is a lot more fun than I thought it would have been. So absolutely, I would do this in the future.
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, GoRuck's got, you know, selection. They run once a year now. Maybe there could be like a Ruck Club Olympics or something.
Yeah, and of course there'd have to be qualifying events, regionals, state, who knows. But I think you can do a lot with this type of idea. It would take some dedicated support for sure. But yeah, there's a lot that you can do with this type of event. And I hope to see it in the future. I really think we will. Like I said, the head chef at GoRuck headquarters was on the phone with me right when the event was over, asking me for some of the stuff on it. So
perfect.
Who knows when it'll come out, because GoRuck is obviously very busy and they've just released a bunch of really cool events for this year anyway. But who knows when, but I think we will see more of this. And even if we don't see it from a standardized event from GoRuck, I really think that someone in the community can take this by the horns and have some fun with it, make it a custom style event, or, you know, just make it something completely their own. And have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, I remember when Luke was setting it up originally and Bomber posted that first link in the Tough group. There were a lot of questions about it and no one really knew what to expect. And it seems like GoRuck did a really good job keeping a lid on everything. So no one really knew what to expect until they showed up. But now that there's all these pictures going around and, you know, all the other Ruck clubs who weren't in attendance saw what happened down there, it sounds like, at least from what I've heard, that there are a lot of people who are excited about a potential next one.
Yeah, definitely. And GoRuck did that on purpose, because we didn't want people to know really exactly what to expect. They just wanted them to bring what was needed to bring as far as the packing list and be prepared to compete. That's it. And that's similar, if you've ever watched like a CrossFit competition or the CrossFit games, none of those events are known to the athletes before they begin. So that's unlike the Olympics or whatever, where they know exactly what they're doing before they do it and they get trial runs. Like the CrossFit games, it's none of that. The athletes don't even know what exact workouts they're going to be doing. So that's kind of the premise behind why we're being so close-lid on it. But after all the bomber cams and pictures and stuff and excitement, absolutely people want some more, and I don't blame them.
Yeah, and it's just it's a really unique direction for GoRuck to go, because I think, you know, we mentioned that all the previous GoRuck events, lights, toughs, heavies, it's all one team, and it's kind of like a competition, the team versus the cadre in some regards, where you're trying to, you know, accomplish the mission and complete the event with your team. But this is one of the first events outside of selection that I've heard of where, you know, everyone who signs up isn't on the same team. And not only that, it's a physical competition between the people who show up. So
it's more about small teams. So, you know, basically based off all the lessons you can learn in a Go Ruck event, like a tough event or heavy event, based off teamwork, etc. You're not getting any of that during the competition, but all those things that you learn, you can apply during the competition with your small team of eight people was what was the number that we had. And you can change that to 10, 15, six, whatever, you know, you can change it into pairs if you want. It's scalable, obviously. So, but that's the thinking behind that is just small teams, competing against each other, using their tool shed, if you will, of everything that they've learned in other Go Ruck events. Most of the participants, 90% plus who did this Ruck Club battle were already GRTs and had done an event.
And that's always fun too. You know, those almost reunion style events where a lot of the people who show up, have already completed one previous Go Ruck event, but it must've been really interesting for people who showed up and that was their first event, this Ruck Club battle.
Yeah, it's totally, and you know, we made those announcements. It's totally not what most Go Ruck events are like. This is, you know, it's a custom style event, and you know, it's a competition. Go Ruck events normally aren't competitions. They're survival as
right.
a team. You're competing against the time hack. You're competing against the elements. You're competing against the Rubik's Cube of Go Ruck, which is the 1,000-pound log that you have to move 4 miles. You know, at O-Dark 30. It's so. There's none of that here at the Ruck Club battle. It's just a competition. So,
yeah, I'm really excited to see if there's another one. It sounds like there might be. So I'm excited to see what happens.
I hope so. Like I said, it'd be great to get regions involved, you know, like West Coast or the Pacific Northwest Ruck Clubs compete against each other, you know, and then the California Ruck Clubs or whatever. And then, you know, have like some type of national competition for all the winners and something like that, I think would be really, really cool. And the nature of competition, it seems to be, you know, ingrained in GRTs. They love that. A lot of them do, at least. Because every time, you know, every time we implement little competitions during events, they love it. I start most of my light events with, that's like the welcome party is a little relay competition that you might have done when you were, you know, in grade school or something. That has to do with the wheelbarrow exercises or, you know, crab walks and bear crawls and this, you know, leapfrog type stuff. So, and people really do like it. So they love the competition side of things.
Absolutely. I know I do. I know I have a lot of fun whenever those Go Ruck events turn into, they split off and losing team does extra PT or something.
Right, exactly.
So I've got a couple questions for you after the Ruck Club battle. Is there anything else that you want to talk about related to the Ruck Club battle?
No, I just really want to thank Luke, the point of contact who put it all together. He deserves, you know, all the credit, really for putting it together. He was the catalyst, you know, the spark that made the event happen. If it weren't for him, we wouldn't be talking about the event right now, and it would have never happened. So really he was heavy in the hand of making this event happen. So you know, he deserves the credit for it, and as well as, you know, Kadri Dan and Kadri Cody. It wasn't a one-man show, that's for sure. Those guys were awesome. And then, like I said, the event, we kind of herded cats, if you will. The cadre were just kind of telling people where to go, and we blew whistles here and there for starting events. So it was the people who showed up that were awesome that made the event what it was. And without them, without the GRT community, we'd be nothing.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Luke, for, you know, starting this spark, putting it together. And because of that, we might have a second one, which leads into thank you all the GRT who showed up for this event, because I'm sure if the turnout was six people, then there would probably never be another Ruck Club battle. But since everyone turned up in force, I mean, there's a chance.
Exactly. Exactly. It's all in the community. And the community is what makes Go Ruck, and it's what makes us awesome for sure. So, you know, it started with Luke as the catalyst, but then other people had to show up. Even he was surprised at how many people were excited about the event. So I don't know if he realized it or not. I told him several times he might have started something bigger than what he expected, that's for sure.
That's awesome. So my final questions for you, and they're just general questions for someone who has done events, has run events. There's a lot of people who listen to the podcast who have never signed up for a GoRock event, and they want to, but they need that, you know, that final push. So what advice do you have for someone who's considering signing up for their first event and they're just not sure?
I would use an analogy with them. I would say, I usually use food. So something you might be averse to in food. No, I don't like it because you tried something a long time ago and it didn't taste good. Well, you try something a little different or try something else and you might be surprised. And then when they do try it, they're like, wow, that was really good. And they're addicted to it. And they're buying banana splits every day, but they didn't think they would like banana splits because they didn't like bananas. Right. So I would use that analogy. I'd be like, hey, you just got to get over that little aversion of that fear and just go for it. And once you do, use that analogy when you had an aversion to something that you didn't think you would like before, but then all of a sudden you loved it. I think that's what GoRock is, because that's what I see so many people when they first do their first event. They, they're very timid and nervous at first, but at the end, they're so glad that they showed up and did it. So getting over that hump, getting the momentum, the velocity needed to get off the butt and go do it. Just think about all of the positive that can come of it, and think about something that you were afraid of in the past, but that you did, and you're so glad that you did. That's what you can equate to GoRock. So that'd be my suggestion to them. Go take that banana split.
That's great. I like that one. Any other advice that you would give to someone who has completed a number of lights or a number of toughs and they're looking to hit the next level? So a light, try their first tough, or if they've done a number of toughs, they're thinking about the heavy?
Sure. The reason why so many people are afraid to show up to events in general is because they don't know what to expect. They don't know if they're ready. Well, it's a team event. Most GoRock events are team events. So even if you do have shortcomings, your team is going to help you. That's the reason behind a team. So you might not think you have what it takes to bring to the table in order to be successful, but that's not true. Everybody has something that they can give to the team in order for them to be more successful. Everybody has something to give. If you have nothing to give, then you're a liability. It's called dead weight. And what I mean by that is you might not be able to throw a refrigerator across the street, right? You might not have muscles on top of muscles, but maybe you're better with direction than the muscle guy or girl. Maybe you know what the North Star is, or maybe you can read a map. Maybe you can smile when the team is at its lowest and you're able to bring up the spirits of the team around you. So everybody has something that they can bring to the table on a team. So even people who are afraid to show up, I think that's what they're afraid of, is that they're going to be the dead weight on the team. And it's just simply not true. And any faults that you may have or weaknesses that you may have are picked up by the rest of the team because of their strength. Getting off the couch to go to your first, say, light event, and after you realize that, using my banana split analogy, you can go into the next event and not be quite as terrified. Like a tough event, which is nothing like a light event as far as intensity and whatnot, but just know that any weaknesses that you have, even in a tough or heavy, are going to be picked up by the collective team. And the collective team would much rather have your strengths that you bring to the table and not worry about your weaknesses, because they'll be able to pick them up with their own strengths. So I would just tell people not to be so afraid, and the power of the team is an amazing thing, and it will overcome, you know, all of your weaknesses. And as long as you have one strength to bring to the team, even if it's basket weaving, if you're good at basket weaving, guess what you're good at? You're good at tying knots, right? So you can be the knot person, and you know just as well as I do that comes up in a lot of GORUCK events, if not every single one. So everybody has something that they can bring to the table, don't be afraid, and go ahead and go find out what that strength is. Even if you don't know it, you'll definitely find out what it is at the end of the event. You'll find strengths that you didn't know about, and you'll definitely find weaknesses you didn't know about as well.
That's incredible advice. And that's also one of the main benefit takeaways from GORUCK events, is you learn so much about yourself that you didn't know before. Just one more reason to sign up.
Yep, exactly.
Awesome, Garrett. Is there anything else that you want to talk about? Any shout outs you want to give before we get going?
Yeah, I want to shout out first and foremost to all the GRTs out there that are listening, and you know, anybody who is even remotely interested in GORUCK and rucking in general. If it weren't for you guys, this wouldn't really exist. So I want to thank you guys first and foremost. And then, Jason and McCarthy and Blaine Smith and all of GORUCK headquarters, I want to give a shout out to those guys. And being a part of that Ruck Cup battle a few weeks ago at headquarters, and being able to watch, the headshed, the leaders of this company compete like that was super inspiring. So I want to thank them for making this all possible, and for the job that they do. And I want them to keep up the good work, and don't want them to go anywhere, because this is an awesome thing that they have going, and I hope to see it here 20 years from now.
Garrett, I just want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk with me about your first event, the Ruck Club battle, and just some amazing advice for people who are considering signing up for their first or second or third event. Thank you, man, so much for taking the time.
Well, thank you, Brian. I appreciate the time, man.
Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Ruck Off podcast. To learn more about this episode, please visit the show notes at alldayruckoff.com/podcast/episode-039. To learn more about All Day Ruck Off, you can always visit us at alldayruckoff.com. Did you enjoy the show? We would love a review on Apple Podcasts and even our Facebook page. Think we can do something better? Send an email directly to me, Brian, spelled B-R-I-A-N, at alldayruckoff.com, as I'm always looking for ways to improve the show. We've got that YouTube channel, and would love if you would subscribe there. We're releasing roughly one video a week at this point, and we've got a long list of videos that we want to make. Finally, if you're looking for more content, check out the All Day Ruck Off website, which at this point has over 500 posts on it. Thank you so much for tuning in, and remember, attitude is everything, keep yours positive, and drink hard, ruck harder.